Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 43. Entitled tonight's teaching, A Bigger Love. A Bigger Love. And we're going to start in Matthew 5:43. It says, Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Right? You have heard that it's been said. And haven't we heard this too? Right? Isn't this exactly what many people are preaching today? Right? Whether it's Democrats versus Republicans, whether it's Israel versus Palestine, or Israel versus Iran, or Israel versus somebody else, or Russians versus Ukraine, right? Maybe it's black versus white, or anything along those lines. Hatred and division is what the adversary pushes. Right, you can love and agree with the people who think the same way you think and say the same things you say, and then everybody else is wrong. But, of course, God has a better way for us to live. In verse 44, it says, But, as in contrast to that ideology, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Right? And that flies in the very face of conventional thinking and what the world teaches. And certainly what the adversary wants. Right? The adversary wants the division. The adversary wants people picking sides and opposing one another, right? And that's not exactly an easy request for most people either, right? It's been, you know, perhaps you've been really hurt by somebody or someone has done something to you that's truly awful, right? Very difficult. It says, God says that we're to love, bless, do good, and pray. There's four actions in that verse. Four of them. Love your enemies. That's the love. Bless them that curse you. That's the bless. Do good to them that hate you. So you're to do good. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's the bigger love. That's the better way. That's what God would rather you do when it comes to your enemies. So you have heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But God says you're to love and to bless and to do good and to pray for your enemies, for those who curse you, who hate you. And that can be really, really hard sometimes. But that's what God wants us to do. Verse 45. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Right? That sun comes up for you whether you think it's Democrat or Republican or it's Palestine or Israel. The sun still comes up. You still get to enjoy it. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Right? There's still water to drink. Life-giving water for crops and for food, right? This to the people in the lands and times of the Bible, rain is a big deal. Right? So the fact that they get to enjoy the fruit of what God's created, regardless of, you know, whether they're just or unjust. God allows the just and unjust to live and to enjoy his creation. He loves the good and the bad, and he wants the best for them regardless. Right? verse 46, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, you know, the people you agree with, the people you really like, if you only salute them, what do you more than others? Aren't you just like everybody else? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that word perfect is the Greek word teleos. And it means, it's not like perfect without flaws. It's perfect like fully developed, mature, or complete. Fully developed, mature, or complete. And so, you know, God's instruction or his request is that we're to strive to be like him in that way, to love the way that he loves, right? To be complete and mature in the way that we're going to treat other people and love them the way that God loves them, regardless of whether they're just or unjust, right? We should want the best for other people too. And that's the bigger love. Go to Romans chapter 12. Now, this is very different than what the world teaches today. And that's because there's a God of this world. The adversary wants that. He wants the chaos. He wants the division. He wants people choosing sides and shutting other people out. There's a group of people you won't even talk to because of whatever their affiliation is, right? How is the word going to move? How are people going to get blessed? Romans chapter 12, verse 14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. So we see it here again in the church epistles addressed to us. Bless them which persecute you. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense or repay to no man evil for evil. Right? That means don't pay somebody back evil because they did something bad to you. Don't be like, well, that's what they deserve, right? That's a very worldly way to look at things. Well, they did something bad to me, so they deserve me being bad to them. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And I think verse 18 is just very cool because it really shows that God understands who we are as humans. He knows that this isn't always easy. Verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, like, if it, just try, right? Live peaceably with all men, right? Just try. Try your darndest to live peaceably with all men. And that's all men. That's the people who you don't agree with, the people that you don't see eye to eye with. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Right? And so again, the request here is not to avenge yourselves. Don't be the one who repays evil for evil. Don't be the one who tries to dole out the judgment or the consequence for someone's poor actions. Right? Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And the middle of the verse there, it says, but rather give place unto wrath. And give place is better translated, leave room for, wait for, or to allow instead. And the wrath that it's talking about is the wrath of God, right? It talks about that's coming. You know, that there is a day coming when, you know, God will do the judging, and there is a wrath coming. So avenge not yourselves, don't take it upon yourself, but rather leave room for, wait for, or allow instead, you know, God to do it, right? There is a day coming when those people will get what they do deserve. But in the meantime, don't avenge yourself. Do your best to love people. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, be peaceable. Verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy, you know, somebody you don't agree with, someone who's diametrically opposed to you, if he hungers, feed him. Help him. If he thirst, give him drink. Help him. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, and that'll burn him. No, it's an Orientalism, right? It'll warm him up. It'll take care of him, right? When the love of God helps to soften people, it helps to turn people around. It helps to, you know, that person who was your enemy, they might change their mind. They may get so blessed that you cared enough for them that they change their mind and they're no longer your enemy. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil. Don't let the evil overcome you, but overcome evil with what?
Good.
With good. That's right. So we wait for God to provide the justice, the vengeance. To give in is to become overcome with evil. But instead, how is evil overcome? With good. That's right, with good. That's what heaps the coals of fire. That's what warms people up. That's what helps to change people's hearts. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Because the love of God is a powerful thing. The love of God is what really changes people. Not arguments, not protests, right? Not debates. Probably aren't going to convince anybody of anything if they don't really want to think that way. But what most people really respond to and need is love. That's what helps. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Right? God is the one who does the exalting. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for people that he can devour. He's looking for people who are going to give in and pick a side. Whom resist, verse 9, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, or you've been acted upon a while. Right? So stuff's going to happen. People are going to be mean to you. You are going to see tribulation. You are going to get hurt. Right? That's going to happen. But after you've been acted upon for a while, God swoops in. He makes you perfect. Right? And that word perfect there is to mend you. He mends you. He puts you back together. He heals you. He establishes you, strengthens you, and he settles you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God's promise is that he's going to mend you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to establish and settle you, right? When you're all wonked out. Because sometimes people wonk us out, right? We get wonked. And we need to get settled sometimes. Well, God promises he'll do that. When we what? Cast our cares to him. Right? When we go to him with the stuff. God's going to do that. He's going to take care of you. He'll be the one who exalts you. He's the one who picks you back up. Right? The adversary is always looking for ways to needle people, to provoke you. He's looking for ways to get you out of fellowship with God. That's how he devours. If you're in fellowship with God, he can't touch you. So he's looking for ways to get you out of fellowship. Right? God will establish you and settle you. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, from this point forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated or separated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's a great description of unbelievers, right?
Holy smokes!
They just walk around in the vanity of their mind. Their understanding is darkened, they're aliens, they're separated from God. They're ignorant and they're blind in their heart. That's not where anybody wants to be. Verse 19 gets better. Who being past feeling. And that literally means like beyond feeling. So it's callous or without shame. Right? They're just hard, calloused. Have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. It's a bucket of yuck. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If so, be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, those old ways of living like were just described here, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Right? We can renew our minds. That's one of the greatest things that we've got. It's the ability to overhaul our thinking, to renovate our brains, to not think the way we used to think. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God, or according to God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, so we can put on this new man, and when we do, this is what we can do. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry. You can be passionate, you can be fired up, and sin not. You can do it without sinning. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Right? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Right? Don't give him room to work. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Right? Those are words contrary to the truth that tear people down, but instead that which is good to the use of edifying. Right? That which is good for building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of is omitted. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, comma, God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you, be put away from you with all malice. And be kind, or instead, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Right? In the context here, in verse 26 and forward, is all in this context of the renewed mind, that we can change our thinking to think this way, that we don't, you know, that we're not angry, that our speech is not one that tears down, right? That we're not bitter or wrathful, but instead we're kind, we're tender-hearted, we're forgiving, right? God can help you with all of that. God can extinguish the anger in you if you want, right? We just have to make the decision and let God work, right? We just have to renew our minds, and God is at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And this is obviously what He wants. It's throughout His Word. 1 Peter chapter 3. So the tool that we have to be able to do this, one is the Holy Spirit that we've got, and two is that we can renew our minds to the Word. We can change our minds. It's God and Christ in us. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, as family. Be pitiful. That means don't be pitiful. Be pitiful. Right? It's tender-hearted is what that means. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. Right? Again, we've seen this in Romans and Matthew. Don't pay back evil for evil. But contrariwise, instead, blessing. Give blessings out. Knowing that ye are therefore called unto called that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from what? Evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue or pursue it. And that word ensue is it happens as the result of. All right, and that is in reference to the eschewing evil and doing good. He finds peace as a result of doing it. Okay, as a result of doing it. So verse 10 and 11 together are really cool. If you want to love life, if you want to live a life that's really cool and that you enjoy it and you just love waking up every day and you want to see good days and you want to have peace and you want to find it, then you refrain your tongue from evil, from speaking guile, and you eschew evil and do good, right? That's the promise of God. That's how you want to live. For the eyes of the Lord, verse 12, are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Carve out a place for God in your heart. Right? That's what it's saying. It's saying, find this separate place to put God in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Because people are going to notice that, right? When you're just happy, even though everything else seems to be going to poop, people notice that. How are you so happy? Don't you know that Israel is bombing Iran right now? And that they're throwing rocks at the ICE people in California? How are you so happy? Well, you'll have an answer. God loves me. I'm going to heaven. Right? And you can share that. And that's what's going to change people. Not, well, yeah, you know, it really stinks that we're on the brink of World War III here. Like, what good is that? Verse 14 again, but, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you're still going to be happy. And that's cool. You're still going to be happy. Verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your good manner of living in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Right? It's better for you if people make fun of you, or people get at you, or think you're crazy for being happy even though things aren't so great. It's better to suffer that than to suffer the consequences of evil doing, right? Of making a different choice, of not renewing your mind. It's not the way the world's going to handle things, but it's the way that God wants us to live and to handle things, right? If we want to love living life, if we want to experience good and blessed days, that's how we do it. God shows us how. We're going to close in Philippians 4:13. Carve out that place for God in your heart. Keep Him first and foremost in your mind and in your life, and then you're going to be happy. Then you're going to be blessed. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Right? It's a decision. I can do it. God works in me to find the strength and courage to pull it off. God works in me to find the strength and courage to pull it off. We don't always have what it takes ourselves, by our own selves, to do it. But we've got God. And with God, all things are possible. God will take care of the things. He will cause peace to reign in your life. Right? He's the one who's at work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when you love people this big, it's not even for them. It is. But even more so, it's for you. What do you get out of loving this big, right? You get peace. You get fellowship with God. You get goodness in your life. You get all these benefits. So, right, if you're doing it, you're going to bless them, but you're going to get blessed back so big for loving this bigger love. And that's what God wants to see for all of our lives.